Hey guys, welcome to the new episode of Automated Seller Podcast. Today I have a new guest, John Teeley, a co-founder of ZoneGuru, which is the powerful tool suite for Amazon sellers and agencies. Hi John, how are you?
Jacob, what's happening? Good to see you.
Good to see you too. Yeah, all good, all good. Thanks a lot for being on the podcast. It's actually very exciting. I'm actually lately inviting more and more tech founders. So I'm really excited to talk about your background, your day-to-day job and ZoneGuru, and obviously about your platform and technical challenges and features that actually it has in it. So maybe, John, let's start with the introduction. So if you could tell a little bit of your story, your journey, your past, like, yeah, everything.
Yeah, of course. It's gonna be exciting talking to you because obviously your understanding of tech and how to create tech is pretty solid. So you can share in my joys and in my pain of building a tech company. My background is I'm originally from South Africa. I grew up in South Africa, and then my first career was in advertising. So I worked at some pretty big advertising firms in South Africa, one in London for a while. And then I moved to Los Angeles, where I'm based now, a few years ago now. It's 2006 as I moved over. So, you know, I followed my path in the agency world and enjoyed it a lot. You know, it was a pretty high-flying career around digital advertising for some blue chip brands like Burger King, Gillette, Cadbury's, etc.
But that was just advertising in general. That was not related to marketplaces, right?
Exactly. So that's just kind of high level digital advertising. It was kind of the evolution of pure retail and television advertising into the digital side of it. So managing all of those channels was my area of expertise. My background is in what I learned in school is everything is marketing, right? So, you know, I don't have a tech, engineering background. But in my last gig in the US, we ended up we were managing kind of websites for some blue chip brands, and we ended up moving more into the software development side, where we started building some internal systems for kind of enterprise systems for our clients. So that's where I started to cut my teeth on the software side and building teams to really develop tech internally for some enterprise systems that were being built.
Did you touch a little bit of kind of like a project management? Like, did you develop the project management skills back then as well? Or
yeah, you know, I was more on the account strategy side, but I did definitely do quite a bit of project management. And then certainly when we did the tech side, it was kind of getting fully into the whole agile side of building tech and building teams around that. So there was certainly building teams, but I definitely had a project management aspect in that as well. In the background to all of that, I always wanted to have my own business and felt that that was my direction. And I had many ideas and opportunities, but never really pulled the trigger on jumping ship and being a fully fledged entrepreneur. For various reasons, but there was a building frustration, I would say, that I hadn't made the leap yet. And then I ran into Amazon in 2013 at a conference in Vegas, and I was early enough in the journey that one of my biggest frustrations was making the complete leap and saying, hey, yeah, you know, I'm cutting off this career and making the jump, whereas obviously Amazon was something that you could run in parallel and then see if it worked. So that was pretty exciting for me, and the idea of having a product-based business versus a service-based business was really interesting. And so I started developing my own products together with my brother, and we launched our first few brands that did really well on Amazon.
Actual physical product, right? Because I had like a software product in mind.
Bringing all of my creative energy to the idea of launching a product on Amazon and building that. So it took us 8 months, but we did well with that, and then we launched a few other products, and then I jumped ship. So I left the gig and started my own. Well, focused fully on building my brands on Amazon. And then in 2017 is really when 2016, 2017 is when the idea started to land around launching Zongu as an operational tool set for sellers. And you know, I saw certain advantages, but certain pain points that I felt I could solve in a better way. So that became a side project that became the main project.
That's actually super interesting. So how was the actually tech scene around Amazon in 2017, right? Because you're obviously running a few successful brands, and obviously there were tools back then, but seems like they were not enough to actually help you scale. So you saw the opportunity, but and then yeah, of course started Zonguru, but I'm really curious, how was it back then? So we are in the 2017, right? And there are like few
But a little bit
software
earlier, like
companies earlier.
2016, early to 2016 is when I started to really think about it. You know, at that time there were a few tools
I
that
couldn't
were.
even code back then. I was too young.
Yeah, exactly. But there were some tools, but they're all pretty specific. Like it was like, hey, this tool did this, this tool did that. So one of my initial ideas was like, hey, how do we get a bunch of tools together under one login, right? So we were kind of the first, kind of full suite of tools for Amazon sellers. So that was one area that I wanted to do differently. And frankly, you know, I don't know if it was the right choice because looking back, it's much harder to market as like an all-in-one tool versus a specific tool that does one thing. Anyway, that's the path that we took. And then the second thing was, you know, there was a lot of data inside of Amazon, and it's super messy because Amazon, if you had a look at, I mean, you know, as much as I know, like their APIs, you know, they've come a lot further with SP API, but that thing is a rat's nest mess in there, right? So understanding what data was there and how to access that data, and not only was the data a mess in terms of how to get at it, but you know, Amazon does a poor job
There
on the
were not even
UI.
like the REST API back then, right? Like if you speak about 2016, 17, we are talking about the old MWS API, which is the SOAP request, so XML basically API. And for 2017, that's already still like they were super late in the game to switch to the new REST API, right? Like when I was learning to code, I mean, yeah, 2016, 17, I think, yeah, I started my uni in 2017, software engineering bachelor. That was where we were already learning and using REST APIs, right? So they were quite popular already. And yeah, Amazon, since it's a huge company, but they were doing the transition very late. I mean, they are still having the transition going on. I think the final deadline is actually in the 1st of April. So yeah, I can imagine. But yeah, sorry, go on.
Yeah, there's a common theme of Amazon is like everyone's surprised by how big of a company it is, but how backwards or behind they are in a bunch of areas, right? So in tech specifically anyway, but you know, so not only was it hard to get at the data, but in terms of how it was visualized inside of Seller Central, a lot of the key data that was important to look at that was a needle move for the business was hidden, you know, layers deep. And so the idea was like, you know, in marketing you have that saying, GIGO, garbage in is garbage out, right? And I felt that a lot of the software tech that was being developed outside of Amazon was really just showing data for the sake of data. They were kind of doing what Amazon was doing anyway, and Amazon wasn't really doing it well either. So, you know, based on my business expertise of being a seller and what was most impactful to moving the needle, how could I, you know, make sure that we focus on the right data and visualize it in the right way to answer the right business question that is most impactful to your business? So that was the initial approach.
So the beginnings were pretty much into the data analytics,
Yeah,
right?
yes and no. The way it was data analytics, but it was like looking at each pain point that an Amazon seller had, and then at those pain points, solving that with data by visualizing it in the right way to answer the right business question. and doing it in the most impactful, fast way, right? So we picked out a few pain points. One obviously being product research, which was a big area. The other one being launch, right? And then the other one was optimization and scale. And
Got
so
it.
that evolved into a product where we had, we have 18 different tools now, but we have a bunch around product research and niche, validation, marketplace validation. Then we have a bunch of tools around SEO and optimizing your storefronts for traffic and conversion. And then we have monitoring tools all around that and financial dashboards so you can monitor your business and understand how you're performing from revenue, from profits, from health scores, etc., so that you can take the right actions on your business to move it forward. So, that's the suite of tools that we have today. And we have certain ones that are our flagship tools out of that suite.
Got it. So I actually will ask you about the tools that you have right now, but let me still get back a little bit, like those few years back, right? So the beginnings, the first features, the first tools that you were building. I'm really curious, how did you actually found it? Was it like some kind of VC backed, or was it that you bootstrap it? And I know that you have a co-founder. I don't know if he or she is a technical co-founder. Please let me like give us some details about those kind of things.
My co-founder partner was and is a guy named Adam Hudson, an amazing entrepreneur. He's what one of those people that is just a serial entrepreneur who's started and grown very successful businesses from 18 onwards, right? And he's an Australian, and he had moved to Los Angeles, and we connected at an entrepreneur group, and just became really good friends. He was building a few businesses here in the US. Obviously the wave of Amazon was coming, and as an entrepreneur, he kind of said, "Hey, this is a good wave to jump onto." We talked about starting Zonguru, but a bigger vision where there was the big need of educating people as to how to actually create products and sell them on Amazon in the right way of creating a scalable business, which at that time, still today, there's some of that, but at that time there was a lot of the get rich quick, hey, just throw products on Amazon. But really there was an amazing opportunity. But if you wanted to create a true e-commerce business, you have to follow the right kind of business practices. So, he went and started an education business called Reliable Education, teaching people how to sell and scale a proper business on Amazon with the right business strategies. And the idea was that I would create Zonguru, and together we can go after the market. So it was bootstrapped right from the get-go. Our original funnel was around the community that was being created on the education side, and they needed tech to obviously build their business, right? So it was a very good start for us and a very smart way of going to the market, and gave us the ability to bootstrap and grow without any VC.
Surely. And how about developers actually? Who are your first developers? How did you actually were looking? Like, what was the process behind it? Like, I'm also really curious about it. Since, I mean, we had a custom development company, right? People go to us, they have some ideas. We actually launch a few SaaSes in a community. A few of them are actually very, very successful. But this is like very interesting thought in my mind, right? Like if we were existing back then, and if you were actually about to launch your business, we would be probably somewhere on your list for like a service provider, so people who you would actually hire, since you are not tech, right? You are looking for some developers. So I'm actually really curious, how did you find your first team members?
Yeah, I made all the mistakes that we probably shouldn't make, right? We were bootstrapped, so we had a very small budget. We had a clear vision of what we wanted to do, and I had a, I'm not a developer myself, but I through my background I understood, how to envision creating software, running through everything from requirements to everything you need to do to kind of get a project done. So, and what it takes to get there. So I had that knowledge, And so I went out to find the cheapest possible option for us, which was India at the time. So I hired a team out of India as an agency to develop the tech, and they created the MVP. The saying goes, if you're not embarrassed by the first thing you launch, you waited too long. So certainly we launched a product that did a few things well, but it was just a mess. We had a lot of the community starting to use our product. So we didn't have a problem with traffic and users, but we had a problem with scalability. So every time we were adding, things were getting broken. We ended up in a position where we were much more focused on fixing bugs and trying to patch things rather than focusing on building new product. And that was a really tough time for us, to try and find the right flow to create successful tech. If you're in that position where your team is resourced and just fixing problems rather than focusing on building new tech, you're going to get eaten up pretty fast in a developer world where tech is moving very fast, especially on Amazon, right? So we had to make a change there. But that was the initial way that we came to market. But I was already starting to look at how we could solve it in a better way with some traction.
Got it. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, that software development, this is the process. It's not that this is something also that we say, we actually had to describe to some of our clients, because some of them, they thought that, okay, they will give us the requirements, we'll disappear for 1 year, then we'll come back to them actually after 1 year with a full project. And it's never like this. It's iterative process. You need to ship small features and test them right away. And most importantly, if you are building a SaaS, you need to test them on scale, which is actually super hard. And yes, specifically, I think that if you're looking for the cheapest option, because you may not have resources, right? I think this is one of the biggest issues. We actually have a lot of clients who come to us with existing software tools, and we have to rebuild everything, right? Because those tools, yes, they may work, they may seem functional, but everything that is inside is broken. It shouldn't work like this. Like the algorithms, the data structures, this is a complete mess, right? So I fully see your pain. I actually great that you actually overcame this, but I can only assume the frustration that you had actually having the project launched and used by users, and then they were just coming to you reporting the bugs, and you're probably just going to the developer super mad. I was like, "Hey, fix this, why it's not working." So yeah, I can see that, but yeah, you came for such a long way, so I only assume that Zonguru, what it is right now, to compare what it was back before, it's completely different project with like over probably few solid iterations.
For sure. And I think the challenge is not necessarily, being, I don't want to use the word cheap, but being, frugal with your budget around tech. I think, as a bootstrap startup, you have to be, but it's about, ensuring that there is a key vision around your tech, not only from a business perspective, but from a tech scalability perspective, right? And often when you go cheap, the team that is working on your tech doesn't have a good understanding of the overall business objectives and the scalability vision of what you're trying to do with the software. And they never really want to own that. They just want to be like, what's the fastest way to make something? And then if that breaks, fine, we'll patch it. But like, there's more of a cheapness around the shortcut to creating what you need to create, rather than like, hey, we want to be clear on the vision of what you're trying to create, understand the business objectives. What is a 2, 3, 4, 5 year vision of what you're trying to do? And now we're just starting right here in this next sprint, and that needs to be done in a frugal MVP style, right? Because you want to get it out and test and iterate. But it's not in It's not, in challenging the overall vision of what you're trying to achieve, right? So I think that's the biggest difference, and that's really where the magic started to happen with Zonguru is when I found my CTO, who is a seller, who truly
Oh, nice. Yeah.
understood.
The business domain is very important. That
Yes.
comes really good with tech, right? It's
Yeah.
just tech knowledge, it's not enough, so.
Yeah, it's the business acumen behind it and the knowledge, which obviously came from Stefan, our CTO, who has a true understanding of the seller world. But not only it wasn't only that, it's this idea of creating the value of curiosity or hiring people that have the value of curiosity, as one of their highest values, right? And so that was one of the big game-changing things for us is not only did we have a CTO that had a true understanding of our markets and what we're trying to do, but we hired people who were curious, who didn't just want to create the fastest, easiest piece of tech, but wanted to understand the business strategy behind what we're trying to do, our target audience, and then solve for that, right? And so when you create that value inside of your organization, you ultimately are creating much, much more scalable, valuable tech at the end of the day, which is critical.
Surely, surely. Now let's focus on the Zonguru that is actually nowadays, right? So I know that there's a lot of tech, a lot of software companies. They are actually popping up every single day. So I'm really curious right now if you could say, John, how Zonguru stands out from other companies, from other tool sets in the Amazon world.
Certainly there's more and more competition ongoing. I would say one of the unique things about Zonguru is we have 18 different tools to operationally help you run your storefronts, but I think the overall theme with our tech is that we still hold true to the value that we understand, what is the most meaningful part of our tech that can make the most impact on your business. So, understanding that when you're looking at all of this data points, where should you be focusing as a seller or an agency? What is the data you should be looking at, and how do you use that in the most impactful way and in the shortest possible way of doing things, right? And so that's kind of the lens that we've always had on our software is if you're trying to do a specific task, how do you get the most meaningful data in the most impactful way and execute on it in the most efficient way possible? And typically
Made
with
by
most,
sellers for sellers.
yeah, exactly. And typically, it's interesting because we have a lot of sellers using our tools, but we as agencies have started to grow, agencies use our tech. And I would say our best product market fit is agencies because by definition, agencies have a bunch of clients with a bunch of products and SKUs, and they are selling their time. So they have to be as impactful and as efficient with their time as possible. And therefore, they choose Zonguru because when they're trying to do something, it's taking them much less time with a bigger impact than other tools, right? So, an individual seller, he might be able to use different tools and get to the same result, even though it takes a bit longer, but it's not as, their time is valuable, but not nearly as valuable as agencies, right? Because they really have to be able to move through things as fast as possible.
Surely. So would you say that actually your focus right now is more towards actually agencies, or is it like 50-50 split, or how is it? Like when it comes to like new clients acquisition actually and project roadmap.
I focus on new client acquisition and product roadmap is agencies. And the reason for that is it is a really good product market fit for us and it's a good focus, but by solving problems at that level, there's a trickle-down effect where our individual sellers benefit anyway, because there's slight architectural differences at the agency level, but at the end of the day, the tools that they're using are what sellers would use at an individual level. And if we can solve those problems in a more holistic way at the agency level in a faster way, the individual seller benefits anyway. So it is a good beacon that drives our product roadmap and client acquisition is more of the enterprise agencies, which is the evolution of where the market's going anyway.
Truly, I actually really like this approach, right? I mean, this makes really like sense, right? If this is good for agency, and like if agency is using your software, they are basically working with each client evidentially. So it's basically like if a client if a seller would use it just on their own. So I like it. I like it.
Yeah,
Now,
and it's a slightly different focus on problems as well, because agencies typically, in most cases, have more established brands with a lot more volume, and what they're focusing on from a data and an automation perspective is kind of iterations on how you get that extra incremental growth, right? And as the market evolves, it gets more mature. The differences you can make on that incremental growth is impactful, right? And so the more we can solve those problems, overall, the sellers are going to benefit, because the market is getting more competitive,
Oh yeah.
and those incremental differences can be huge.
Truly. And now, wait just 1 second, because I clicked some button, but no, we are all good. Yeah, John. The next question, actually, that I want to ask you is pretty much. I mean, there's a lot of different software solutions. There are also like tool suites, like bunch of software all packed together, like ZoneGuru. I know there are also some other options, but if you're running such a company, then probably you have, let's focus maybe on top three. Could be maybe top one or two, but let's focus on top three. So top three features that uses that the businesses comes to and pick your software. What are those, if you could actually tell us, right? Because I'm sure that you all of your tools are great, right? But you are definitely better in some of the functionalities than your competitors, and that's why actually businesses go and pick ZoneGuru. So I'm actually really curious, what are your top three functionalities or features?
Our flagship tools are really around the SEO optimization of your storefront and listings. We had a lot of kind of world's firsts in our industry in that space. I would say, sellers and agencies, the tool that they see the biggest advantage with is our keyword tool, which is called Keywords on Fire.
I like the name.
We've done a lot of firsts in the space, and the first thing that we did there was what we call contextual research. So we were the first ever to not only try and answer the question, hey, what are the best keywords that you should be, optimizing for in your listing and feeding the algorithm, but as importantly, where are your competitors as an overlay focused? Where are they strong? Where are they weak? And where's the opportunity? So, the context of the competition, and where lies the opportunity. We were the first to kind of do that within our tool. So you can easily, find the right keywords that you from a search volume and a revenue perspective that you should have in your listing. But understanding in that subset, hey, where is the opportunity? Where are some really good keywords that your competitors don't own yet that you might want to own? Those are the kind of things you can easily do in our tool. So that was, kind of a first in that space. We actually just come out with a brand new version of the tool, which is pretty cool and has a lot more SEO aspects to it as well. And then the other one is the SEO kind of partner tool to the keyword tool, which is the content creation side of it. So again, we were the first in the space to have contextual SEO. So with that same kind of idea, we didn't want to tell you just what are the best keywords for your listing, but how does that compare to your competitors? How can you really tell, do you have the best optimized listing on page one? And the way to do that is to be able to load your competitors and give them a score and give you a score and understand how you can be better. So that's a pretty cool part of our listing tool, is that you can, as an entrepreneur, you can answer that question and say, hey, have I done the best job with my listing? Yes, because it tells me, but also I can see my competitors and how they compare, so I know I've got the best
And
listing.
it seems like pretty advanced, actually. If I'm thinking actually right now of the like requests of the tools that we are getting, right? And if someone would come up to us and say, okay, I want exactly this feature, it seems like very actually advanced still to build. Like you need a lot of data as well and a lot of experience.
Yeah, that is part of our moat is you can compare our tech and the kind of data that we consume on a daily basis, and that we have to work through our suite. There are companies, Stripe is gazillion times bigger than us from a revenue perspective, but their tech is less complicated than ours, right? So that is also a kind of a unique, insight and lesson into building tech is, how do you pick a way to the more less complicated your tech is, obviously, the more you can iterate on your features. But if you're consuming a bunch of data, there's a massive amount of maintenance that you have to do around that, on top of
Oh, yeah.
building a new product, right? So it does give you a moat, but it also you have to be able to resource that so that your focus is on building new product, not just maintaining, right? So yeah, there's a lot of data that we consume
No,
that's
not
worth.
even talking about the hosting costs actually for such large amounts of data. That's also another thing.
Yeah, we constantly we're .NET, right? So Microsoft Azure, we pay them a lot of money. Yeah. So
Did you try actually and get some credits? Like I don't know, like we are using for example AWS, and we got like 10,000 credits from AWS for AWS startup program, and I'm not sure like.
we were part of the Microsoft startup program for 2 years, but that 2 years is done. So
Oh yeah, now you pay the bills.
now you pay. Yeah, they're
God,
smart. Yeah,
sure.
they know. But don't give it to us for free for a bit. And if we survive, we're stuck there. Yeah. So anyway, it is. Cost is cost, right? But there is it is another aspect of internal management is understanding your gross margin percentage as a tech company, and what is your actual true cost of goods around your data costs, plus obviously the maintenance costs around managing that, and how do you build into your pricing model with your SaaS, right? So that is a critical part of your growth as a business is ensuring that you're covering your costs from a pricing perspective in the right way, right? So yeah, gross margin percentage as a SaaS company is a very important metric that you should be looking at. And it should be 20% or less, right? So that's
Oh,
kind
yeah.
of the typical margin. Going back to the tools, and the other piece that we did first in the space was integrate ChatGPT into our listing tool. So we were the
I
first
actually
to.
saw it on LinkedIn. I think it went quite viral there as well. So I
Yeah,
went on
we
your
launched it.
website. I remember it was like try ChatGPT with a tool. So that's brilliant idea also.
Yeah, we launched in January of 2023, and I think ChatGPT had been launched in November of 22, so we moved very fast on that. And what it does well is it is the best AI listing tool in the space even today for sure, because number one, we're prompting it with the right quality keywords, and that is a big difference between us and any other competitor out there. Is we do a very good job of actually finding the localized current keywords in a marketplace that customers are typing into Amazon versus just what every competitor indexes for. So because you have a quality baseline of keywords, you can prompt your AI to come up with the right type of content. So that's number one. And number two, our job with the AI is not to replace the human experts elements of it, but it's to give you a faster baseline that is well optimized for Amazon, written in the right way for the algorithm, etc., that an account specialist or a listing content specialist can then get some insights from, adjust it accordingly to meet the expertise that they have around that brand, and then launch it right directly from our platform. So the idea is to speed up the initial content creation part, let them focus the difference that they can make to their listing in the right area, and then push it out. So that works really well, and we're getting amazing results with our listing tool.
That
So those are
that's
the
awesome,
main
and
features.
actually, the the thing that you did, right? So you actually were one of the first who integrated with the ChatGPT. And actually, if we see over the last year how it evolved, right? Like, I mean, when it was released, was like ChatGPT 3, right? Then it was 3.5. Now with ChatGPT 4, and also OpenAI just releases incredible features. Like, they increased the amount of tokens that you can use, right? So being there so early, you could actually also learn on your mistakes and improve it, right? So I also assume that the integration that you have with the OpenAI, with the ChatGPT right now, is like totally different than it was when you actually did it first.
Yeah, and also, you know, we've created our own AI within our platform, right? AI is not new. So the point there is not only AI, but like self-learning as a system within your tech is important, right? So, you know, we're constantly monitoring the output of ChatGPT and, you know, how does that perform versus, you know, other content in the space? You know, is it accurate in the, is it meeting the requirements that we give it in the prompts, or do we need to make adjustments on that so that it performs better? We're constantly, you know, A/B testing and self-learning in terms of how we prompt it so that we can, you know, get better and better at what we're doing, and the AI can get better in its output as well, right?
Surely. And John, could you actually tell us like some I don't know, like your top one favorite success story? I mean, all of us has like this one client that you completely probably improve his or her business, right? So if you could tell us like one success story of a client that's using Zonguru and it just transformed completely its business.
Yeah, we have a few of those. You know, we to give you some background on that as well, we part of Zonguru's success, or one big driver of our success, is because we have a very strong seller DNA. You know, sellers solving problems and creating the tech to solve those problems. We obviously are very focused on our agencies and growing tech for our agencies, but, you know, in the same light, we didn't have a strong internal agency DNA. The seller DNA certainly helps, but actually having an internal agency or a managed service that we could solve tech for, you know, for that internal managed service, would therefore allow us to be game changing with our tech for our agency. So we have actually, you know, implemented an internal managed service only for specific clients that we have, with the mm-hmm. with the role of obviously helping them grow, but also, you know, then fueling our tech to help other agencies. So it's kind of coming from a like-minded approach. All of our agency clients actually love it because they have a one-to-one relationship with us, and they they speak to like-minded people. We're solving the problems that they have on a daily basis, so it works really nicely, and we're not competing with them, right? Because there's so many out there, but it's coming from our client base. So, you know, our success is on two fronts. One is obviously individual clients that we have, and we have success stories there, but it's also agencies and how they're succeeding. And you know, what's really been great for me is seeing the performance at the agency level. So agencies that are using our tech, and they're seeing real results across their portfolio, right? And we've had some feedback from agencies which comprise of ex-Amazon employees who worked on the algorithm, who then branched out and started their own business, who understand the algorithm, and we've got comments from them like, Zonguru is by far the best tech in the space that have given us.
That's awesome testimonial, actually.
Around BSR and ranking and niche ranking that they've never had before, just because they're using, they're seeing the, not only just using our tool, because there's other ones out there, but because of the data that, and the way that we actually do it that matches the algorithm, they're seeing the results. So, we've got, you know, hands down, you know, it's great. One particular client, which is based in Seattle, an agency who's very tech focused, he's like, hands down, you guys have given us, you know, we are based on getting better ranking for our clients and all the process we do. And since we switched to Zonguru, it's doing even better than what we ever did manually. So, you know, that's a really cool result for us, because I know that we have the best tech that's being used at the best level with, you know, I think their portfolio is 300 million plus, you know, that they're using on their agencies, which is great.
That's awesome. That's great. Thanks, John. That was really, really informative and nice episode. I actually really like that you shared a lot of details also that came through your journey to building ZenGuru, which is right now like a very nice again tool set of different Amazon tools. So that's great. Last few words maybe from your side, like if people had some questions, where people can find you, how people can start maybe learning more about ZenGuru.
You know, go to zonguru.com for sure, and you can connect with us there. My LinkedIn profile, maybe we can add it in the notes, is a good place to connect with me if you are an agency. And then, you know, there's also a link in there to a free growth audit. So if you're a brand on Amazon, you're somewhat established, you know, maybe you're doing a million, 2 million plus, and you really are looking for, a better way of solving organic growth on Amazon, you can connect with us. We have a free growth audit we can run for your brand and give you some insights as to how to use our tech to improve your organic rank. And we have a very data-driven method there that we'd share with you. So, you know, to do the growth audit, there's a few pre-qualification questions. But if you do qualify, we will do that analysis. It's a deep analysis. It takes about an hour and a half from one of our team members with some real value in it that we can give to you for free. So yeah,
Awesome.
I'd love to leave you with that link, you know, both LinkedIn and the growth audits for brands and then
We'll leave them
agencies.
in the description. So thanks a lot, John. And yeah, thanks for coming for the podcast. Speak
Yeah,
soon.
thanks a lot. And certainly it's great talking with you, and I know you face a lot of those same challenges with you know, being a tech company for SaaS products, right? Yeah, certainly where you are the way that you approach solving tech for SaaS is the right approach, right? With a focus on the vision and scalability, which is fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you, John. All right. Thanks a lot, guys, for watching, and I see you in the next one. Bye bye.